You know, we've been talking about the statements that Jesus made that are, well, we usually call them the I am statements. Those are statements that Jesus made about how he perceived himself. And we started out and the statements were just kind of a part of teaching. Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. And that's kind of dispassionate. It reminds me a little bit of the way that we can talk about COVID-19 when we're just talking about infections. It's not something that's affecting us particularly right away, and so we talk about it, but it's a very clinical way of talking about it. We're separated from it. When it's somebody that is in our immediate family, we begin to talk about it a little bit differently. And we saw that last week. Jesus is at the graveside of Lazarus, his good friend. And the record says that Jesus wept. And then he makes another I am statement, but its tone seems to be a little bit different because it's not very clinical. It's not very dispassionate. Now it's beginning to affect the people that are around him. And today we take it to the next step. It's one thing to talk about COVID when it's a clinical discussion of a disease. It's another thing to talk about it when it's affecting your friend. And then finally, it's something even different than that to talk about when it's something that's happening to you. So today, we're going to turn to Jesus' statement in John the 14th chapter. But we're going to set the stage not by beginning in John 14. We're going to begin in John 13. In John 13, several things are going to happen. And you have to think about John the 13th chapter as if Jesus is beginning to talk about his crucifixion with his apostles, and he knows that it's coming in just a couple of days. So it's a very different way of talking about his I am statement. So in John 13, beginning at about verse 31, John records the events for us this way. When he had gone out, now the he that had gone out is Judas. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, as God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little time I'm with you. You'll seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. In this shall all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why then can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. If I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and still take you, or and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. He that comes to the Father, or no one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Jesus uses an incredible picture. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so this picture that Jesus is presenting is that there's a communication that goes on between God and man and God, and he presents himself as the bridge for that communication. But that bridge that he's talking about is a very difficult thing. So he's going to talk about it in several ways. First, he's going to say to his apostles, I'm about to leave. I'm getting ready to go away. And I'm going back to God. Now, if you went all the way back to the first chapter or the first verse of chapter 13, you would find out that Jesus knew he was getting ready to be crucified. And at the end of verse 1, he says, or the John says, that he wanted to prepare his disciples for his leaving. So he washes their feet in chapter 13, beginning at verse 5, all the way down through verse 20. And you see Peter, as Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, he says he wants to be all in. So he says, not my feet only, but my whole body. Then he's going to repeat that sentiment a little bit later, but Jesus is going to remind him later in the passage that we've already read in verse 38 that he's going to deny him. Then after he washes the disciples' feet, he identifies Judas as the one who's going to betray him. It's a little cryptic, verse 21. I'm not sure that the apostles understood that Judas was the one that was going to betray him. But I do think that Judas was convicted that Jesus knew that he was going to betray him. So Judas leaves the group in verse 30. And then Jesus pretty bluntly tells his disciples that he's going away in the beginning of verse 33. And he tells his disciples, you can't go with me right now. But he promises them that they will go with him later. Then he turns his attention to kind of why he's going away. In verse 1 and 2 of chapter 14, he says, I'm going away, I'm going to God, I'm going up to God's house, and I'm going to get a room ready for you. And there's this wonderful picture that probably comes from the Jewish wedding ceremony where the bride would wait for the groom to go to his father's house and most of the time build something that was kind of like a lean-to onto the side of his father's house, and that was to be his house. And then once he finished building that house, he would come back and he would get his bride and he would take her to this new house that he's built, this new dwelling place. It's kind of in his father's house. It's one big family living kind of under one roof, but in Jewish culture, they were kind of separated. So it's probably this picture of the Jewish wedding ceremony. And he promises, importantly, in verse 3, that he's going to come back once he's finished preparing the room. And that's an important notion. And after he comes back, then they'll be able to join him. Then beginning in verse 4, there is this discussion. Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. How could we know the way to get there?" Well, Jesus has already been telling him, "I'm going to God's house." He's going to heaven eventually. So they should have known that. And then Jesus pointedly says, "I am the way." The way that you're going to go to my father's house, the way that I'm going to get there is coming. And nobody is going to go to my father except that they go through me. That's Jesus as the bridge between man and God. We want to get to God, but we can't get there unless we go through Jesus. Then in verse 5, he kind of draws this thing to a conclusion, and he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So there's some very important things in what Jesus has said. They knew the destination. They knew that Jesus was going back to be with God. And what they had to understand most critically was that they also knew that the way that he was going to get there was through the cross. So let's think about this for a minute. Jesus says, "I'm about to leave and I'm going back to be with God." And he also says, "I have some work that I have to do once I get back there to be with God. And then once I finish that work, I will come back to where you are and be with you again." So it's important to understand these three things about Jesus and about what he wanted them to know. The next thing that Jesus says is there's only one way for me to get to God. I'm here on the earth. I came here in order to be a sacrifice. I was always intending to go back to heaven, but there's only one way for me to get there. I'm going to have to go through the cross. And you can't do that with me. Nobody could do that with Jesus. He had to face the cross all by himself, and he had to let them know that that was coming. That's a very difficult thing. This was the conversation that Jesus has with the people that he loved knowing in essence that he has COVID-19 and he's about to die. Jesus is about to die on the cross, and he wants them to know that. And then he says, I'm truth. What does that mean to say, I'm the way and I'm the truth? I think what Jesus is saying is that if you have seen me, you understand the truth about God. And if you know God, then you know all that there is to know about me, because the two of us are as one. I'm the truth. I'm the bridge. I'm the means of communication. God is showing you himself in me, and you can look at me and see God. So it's a two-way street. It's a communication that can't be gained any other way. There were people that had spoken for God. The prophets in the Old Testament had spoken for God. But in every case that you read about in the Old Testament, the prophet who spoke for God was a flawed man. You couldn't really see everything that there was to see about God in the prophets because of their flaws. But Jesus doesn't have those flaws, and so he can be truth, the real image of exactly what God is. And then the third thing that he says is, I'm the life. And this is the great paradox of life as it's presented in a Christian's understanding. How was it that Jesus became alive never to face death again? By dying. So it's this great paradox. I'm going to live, but in order to do that, I have to die. And that's in many ways, I think that's a hard lesson for us to learn. I'm going to God. I have some work to do when I get there. The only way that I can get there is to go through the cross. I want you to know that. Don't be surprised when it happens, because I know it's going to happen. Understand that you know all there is to know about God if you know me. And I can give you life. So that tells us quite a bit about how, got to keep that mirror in my head. That tells us quite a bit about how Jesus perceived his mission on the earth. And it also tells us quite a bit about what our focus has to be if we're going to make Jesus' mission on the earth our focus. So the first thing it says is that just like Jesus had to go to the cross, if I'm going to go back to God, I'm going to have to go to the cross. Not Jesus' cross. Nobody could go to that one except Jesus. But I am going to have to go to the cross. And I can see at least two distinct senses in which that going to the cross happened. The first sense is that I have to be crucified. I have to put myself to death. You know, when we talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and we talk about being crucified with Christ, I think there's something terribly appropriate about that, because our old man doesn't want to just go away quietly. Our old man goes away kicking and screaming the whole time. And we're going to have to nail him to the cross. We're going to have to put him to death. That's a hard thing for us to face. In many ways, it's just as hard as it was for Jesus to face his cross. Now, he faced a cross that was very different than ours, but we have to face our own cross. We have to be willing to put our old man to death, so that we can go to God. Just like Jesus had to go to the cross, we're going to have to go to the cross. The second sense in which I have to face a cross is that there may be persecution that comes to me. That's a cross that I perhaps will have to face. It's a cross that I know a lot of people around the world have faced in ways that I'm not really familiar with. When the Apostle Paul, if he's the one who wrote the book of Hebrews, wrote to the Hebrews in the 12th chapter, he reminded them that they had not yet resisted unto blood as much as Jesus had resisted, but he says, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus, understanding that you may face the same kinds of persecution that Jesus faced. It's not an evil that God wishes to come upon you as you become a Christian. It's an evil that comes upon you because there are evil people in the world, and they will persecute you. The Apostle Paul even says, to some we become the savor of death unto death. Can you imagine? But if I'm going to take Jesus' mission and make that my focus, what that means is, I have to understand the concept of the cross, and I have to follow Jesus to my cross, not his cross, but my cross. Now, he endured what evil people brought upon him, and I might too. And I have to be the truth. I have to be willing to show God. I have to be willing to say that people who look at me can see God. That's my whole purpose. The Apostle Paul said in Romans, the 12th chapter, that we make our bodies a living sacrifice to God, wholly acceptable. And he says, for that reason, be transformed, so that when people see you, when people meet you, they will understand who God is. That's what we have to try to make happen in our lives. So I have to be truth, just like Jesus was truth. Now I can't reveal truth like Jesus did, but I can show people a true picture of what God really is. I have to be very careful about that. I can't be something that's a mangled image of God. Even though I would think that people need to see what I'm trying to tell them, I can't be a mangled image of God. I have to be the image of what God is. And then finally, just as Jesus had life, and it was a great paradox, I too can have life. Remember Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, said, if you'll lose your life for my sake, that's the way to really gain your life. That's the great paradox. It's the paradox that Jesus understood. The only way for him to really have life was to go to the cross. The only way for me to have life is to face my cross, lay down my life, and take up a reflection of what God is. Put Jesus on in my life, and I will not die. I need to go through this physical separation. My body separates from my spirit. But the spirit, that the thing that's really me, never dies. It lives eternally. It lives with God forever. And what a great thing that is. What a great blessing that is. And just as Jesus had a hard time explaining that to his disciples, the people that he loved, I have a feeling we'll have a hard time trying to explain that to the people that we love. I'm going away. I'm not going to be with you anymore. But you know where I'm going. You understand that for me to get there, I have to go through this, just like Jesus did. Well, the context there in the end of John 13 and the beginning of John 14 is an amazing context and takes on some really deep meaning for us when we're trying to go through the pandemic that we're going through. And we start reflecting on what it would be like to know that the time is coming that you're going to go away. Put on Jesus. He is the bridge that gets us to God. You can't get there any other way. There's just one bridge. It's Jesus. If we can help you in any kind of way, we'll find a way to baptize you. Social distancing doesn't matter. We'll find a way to baptize you. We'll help you put on Christ. If you'll repent of your sins and confess that he's the Son of God, we will take care of that. So we want you to think about it. Any comments? Remember to unmute yourself if you make a comment.